Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Out the official USFL website, two things came out. Number one, they are not affiliated with the NFL.
Oh. So that never happened as they'd hoped.
And number two, your application was rejected.
I wasn't rejected. I didn't put it in yet.
Well, it's kind of like in Austin Powers, a preemptive shush.
You can't preemptive shush.
Shush. Preemptive one, shush.
www.zipit.com. That was my favorite one, actually.
Zipping good. All right. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We'll find out in dramatic fashion the new vehicle that Kevin gets next week. You're anxious, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, this is a nice one, too. The 2014 Kia Forte Coupe Turbo was pretty darn nice itself.
Yes. And ask them for it at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And this happens to be a Kia, so Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. I'd like to test drive the car that Kevin Herr had.
And then now, find out about the free money for 60 months.
You've been doing that for 3 years on this show. No, I'm just kidding.
Really? I haven't seen any of it yet.
That was a good one. You got to admit that. Even Cindy laughed.
Well, 3 years ago. 3 years ago, Steve said, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. When?
Are you still sitting there?
That I am. I must admit that.
Voila.
Boy, I should get more details next time. Lesson learned. So the new USFL is not affiliated with the National Football League as they said they would be. So are they still going to be considered, are they still looking at a minor league? Or being a minor league for the NFL?
They say they will not compete.
Well, no.
With the NFL for players.
No. I would think that they would want to become, you know, the minor league, like Major League Baseball has. And why wouldn't the NFL want to welcome that with open arms? I mean, let's face
money.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but think about the money that can be made. We're talking about the National Football League that has made itself a year-round event without playing any game between mid-February and August. Imagine if you throw in football games starting in March and continue it through, say, the end of June.
Maybe it's more popular because of how it is structured. Instead of overload, are you overloaded by 162 baseball games, overloaded by 82 NBA games, overloaded by 82 hockey games?
It's not the same thing, though. You're right.
I'm just asking.
Have a good point, because if you remember, I complained about that, where you have Thursday night football, then Monday night football, then Saturday. You know, yeah, there's a point to that. But I think because of the type of sport it is, it's a once-a-week type of sport, I don't think you have the overload that you do with the NBA, the NHL, and especially Major League Baseball, that are playing almost seven nights a week with maybe one night off every now and then for your team. So I think that's the downfall of Major League Baseball right now, as I think there's just too many games. But I think you can get away with it in football because it's one game for your team per week.
I think it's a big part of it.
And, you know, the other thing that football has going for itself, and college football is the same way with the exception now of Thursday night games, you know when there's going to be a football game on to watch, whether it's your team or not. I mean, you know Monday night, with the exception of the last week of the season, you're going to have a Monday night game. You know, there's going to be a Sunday night game. You know, Sundays, there's going to be at least two. College football, you know, Thursday there's going to be a couple of games on, and every Saturday you're going to have a whole boatload of games on. I think that also helps the football situation.
Penn State, for example, next year only one bye week. Not two, one. Starts September 5th in Philadelphia and goes to the 28th of November. The only bye week is the 14th of November. It's the only one. So Penn State will play 10 consecutive weekends, get a bye, and then play two.
Couldn't you consider the first weekend, though, that they're not playing a bye? Aren't there games on the 29th of August?
I don't think so. Don't think so. No, because Labor Day is Labor Day is the 7th.
Right. Right, Labor Day is later this year. That's true. I didn't think about
that. And I think that's the gap closer right there. That's why there won't be any games at the end of August. So that's I think the openers for college football are September 3rd. That Thursday night. And Penn State does not leave the state until October 17th, when they play at Ohio State. They'll play in Philadelphia against Temple, then have five consecutive home games.
That's really strange, because the way it's set up this year. I know high school football announced that its first regular season contest date will also be September 4th.
Right, because Labor Day weekend, September
exactly.
7th. Yeah. So that's the reason why. Labor Day sets really where everything is. They're trying to play at Labor Day into Thanksgiving weekend. That's why there were two bye weeks built in for every Big Ten team this year. Well, this year they can get 12 games in 13 weeks to accomplish the Labor Day to Thanksgiving Day situation, or Labor Day weekend to Thanksgiving weekend deal. So that's how they're going to accommodate it. I also have a couple things too. You know, people wondered, they're into winter workouts right now. They're into winter workouts.
Is that the early morning get up and start lifting workouts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I ran into and talked to Naeem Wortman, Anthony Zettel, Jordan Lucas, Austin Johnson, Jake Kiley, Parker Cothran. Talked with them briefly yesterday. You know, and they're into it. They're into what's going on. So, I talked to them for a little while yesterday. And I was over in the building for a little bit today. In fact, I talked to James Franklin today. It's a big recruiting weekend for Penn State. He's going to be at the hockey game tonight. And he is taking he's taking a shot, I think, it's between periods of one of the games tonight. And so he went over there to practice a couple today. And I said, I said, P.J. Mullins showed me the video. He says, God, I was awful. I says, oh, come on. I said, you're a closet Nashville Predators fan. I said, you and Carrie Underwood. And the uninitiated, Carrie Underwood is married to Mike Fisher of the Nashville Predators. You didn't realize I knew pop culture.
You are so pop culture. I had no doubt in my mind you knew that.
Huh? You like that? Huh? You're shocked.
A little bit.
Yeah. Lawrence wouldn't know.
Okay. Lawrence would know the. I feel confident with that comment.
Lawrence would know who the Northumberland County Commissioner was in 1955 and has him in the Rolodex, but not that. Well, I guess that was Vinnie Clausi then, too, wasn't it? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think so.
I'm just joking. Don't even know the guy. I just hear him in one promo after another. I don't know. If he were to stand in front of me right now, I'd be like, okay, and you are? I don't know the dude. Hey, they come up for re-election. I mentioned his name. He's got to feel good. All right? You're rolling your eyes. Stop rolling your eyes.
I just wonder if anyone... I mean, I'm sure the numbers are going to be good for this Pro Bowl, but I wonder if anybody... is going to be making sure they watch it beginning to end.
I don't even think the players watch it beginning to end.
I don't even think the players participate beginning to end. That's my other... It's too lighthearted.
Oh, will you stop complaining? Okay, stop complaining. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
I've done that very well over the last several years.
That's fine. That's your choice. Okay. It'll be there as a viewing choice. There will be people that's selected as a viewing choice. Nothing wrong with it. It's clean fun. They're not doing anything.
Now, I can't say that I do have any couple of years has become more of an entertainment thing than a football game.
Okay. Well, it's football's entertainment to begin with. All sports are. Sports are entertainment.
Now, what if you made it that a group of people, like maybe they could work a deal with a pizza place, like say Papa John's. Like, they remember when Papa John's did the coin toss thing, and you had a chance to win a free pizza. That would make me watch the Pro Bowl. Something like that would make me watch it.
I don't even remember them doing it.
Oh, I do, because I won a free pizza.
Really?
I've never been so excited about the coin flip in my entire life. Even when I was playing, I wasn't that excited about a coin flip. Papa needs a pizza.
What game was this?
It was the Super Bowl a few years ago. You remember? There were big, it was big promotions, you know, for weeks with Peyton Manning on it and the founder of Papa John's. You had to pick heads or tails, registered online, and what if it came, like, say you picked heads, it came up heads, they sent you a certificate for a free pizza.
See, I'm really weird. I watch the coin toss to see who gets the ball first.
Yeah, that was fun too, but... You're the only person that watches the Super Bowl and doesn't watch the commercials.
Watch the commercials. I watch them, and you know, do I watch halftime? No. Do I watch the pregame? No. I will pick up my pregame experience just about the time they're going to do the national anthem. Halftime? No. Halftime's too long, hurts the game.
But it's Katy Perry.
Doesn't matter. It's 12 minutes. Should be 12 minutes like a regular game.
No, I'm watching Katy Perry. You can do whatever you want at halftime. You can go refill the dip bowl, whatever. I'm watching Katy Perry.
Okay, who was last year's halftime?
I don't care. I didn't like it. Was it Bruno Mars?
I don't know. I don't care.
I didn't like it. I mean, I remember when U2 was there. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, brother.
The Who?
What's hurt halftime in recent years is that the game's actually become good, last year withstanding.
I remember one game where it was more exciting to see who was going to win Bud Bowl than the football game.
Well, no, I mean, that's happened over time, but the game has really become really good in the last 15 years. with an exception here and there, the Buccaneers, Raiders Super Bowl, last year's Super Bowl, but those are now the exceptions and not the rule. How many have been coming down now to the last possession? Patriots, Giants twice, you know, last play of the game, Ravens and 49ers. I mean, that, you know, we've had Super Bowls been coming down to the waning seconds. And that's really helped the game tremendously, that it's closed that kind of gap. Let's see. 40 interviews in Deflategate. Doesn't say exactly who they talked to. See, I don't care about the number. We interviewed. Never. Did you interview the 8 people you needed to?
He said he didn't have anything to do with any of it. He's just making the grass grow.
Check them off as one.
I did underinflate the grass. Does that count?
Yeah.
I cut it too short.
Kevin, my gut is telling me that the officials did check the footballs before the game. But they did it with, okay, here, okay, boom, boom, boom. Okay, we got 12, boom, 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 we got 12. And they didn't use a pressure gauge.
Yeah, my guess is they took a look at him, they touched it, said 12, rolled it to see that there was an NFL logo on it, and then moved on.
Right. I mean, they had their hands on it, all right? They had their hands on it. Well, okay, there's 12 here, there's 12 here, we're good. All right, make sure they're in the right bag for each team. But I'd be very surprised if they can prove unequivocally they used a pressure gauge. And remember, the officials did handle the footballs constantly during the course of the first half of that game.
You know, there's one way to resolve this once and for all and forever, and that is teams don't provide footballs. The National Football League...
That was the rule before 2006. Yep. The rule before 2006... And Tom Brady and Peyton Manning both lobbied before the competition committee saying it would be better for the game if teams could bring their own footballs. Now, in college, you do have to bring your own footballs. But you have sponsor obligations there. Penn State, for example, is a Nike school. So they bring their own football with them. You know, Michigan is an Adidas school. They bring their own football with them. So everybody brings their own footballs in college with them. That's been the practice for a while.
I don't even understand in high school.
I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I think a lot of people didn't even know that till I think I mentioned it on the show a couple of years ago. I know a couple of people told me they were surprised when I said it.
Yeah.
But you can actually, if you watch the game closely on TV, you can actually see the logos.
Yes, that's exactly right. You can, especially when they do the up-close shots.
On the team, you know, the logo on the ball from the team. Well, that's their ball.
But see, in the NFL and in high school especially, you don't have that issue. Now, the NFL obviously is a bigger organization, so they can afford to have one group already assigned to handle the footballs for every game and make sure they're checked in and all that fun stuff. In a high school, the PIAA level, I think the home team needs to supply the football, and then they supply the football that is used the entire game. That way, if there is an underinflation or an overinflation or no inflation at all, it's not an issue. No, they don't. But I'm saying it's not an issue because each team's playing with the same football. They're kicking the same football. There's no problem there.
Right. Robert Kraft said over the last 3 days, the team has provided access to every full and part-time employee. The league's representatives requested to speak with and produced every communication device that they are requested to search. A source did confirm that no players have yet to be interviewed by the NFL in 3 days.
The only person that the Patriots did not make available for interview is the one who actually deflated the balls.
They say they've made everybody available. They've made everybody available.
Well, again, he's not with the team anymore. He's the season ticket holder at the 50-yard line with the sweetest seat in the house.
All right. If you're gonna inflate the footballs to 12.5, the minimum, let's just say they follow it to the letter 12.5. They will deflate some, just, you know, being out in the cold, rain, and things like that. But to that extent, the problem is the extent to which they deflated. But just naturally, they're going to deflate some, and you're going to fall below the minimum. automatically if you're going to inflate to the minimum. You're going to fall below on a cold, rainy night. As remember, it started out at 51, but it fell back into the 40s. That's still cold, and you're still going to get something. You're still going to get some deflation at that temperature. It doesn't have to be below 32 for it to happen. And you got to remember, you got 11 footballs sitting there doing nothing a good chunk of the time. You put them next to heaters, and you know, what if the footballs are next to heaters? What if they're not? You know, there's a whole bunch of things back and forth you got to go through and find. But I strongly feel, with no evidence whatsoever, that the officials did not pressure gauge the footballs until at halftime they went, oh, we better check these things. And even then they still threw one out to start the second half. Remember that? Even after checking them, they still threw one out. But this is one where I'm sitting back and I'm looking at the officials saying, hey, did you pressure gauge all of them before the game? Any of them? Did you? Oh, yeah, we did. Nobody knows. You have to trust what those seven guys tell you. There's a guy with the Chicago Bears who says he's been in there. He says, and they don't. And this guy said he used to be one of the equipment guys. And he says, look, I never saw them do it, ever. That pressure gauge sat up there. He said, never moved. Interesting, isn't it? You do something all these times over and over and over again, you can get lackadaisical about it. You can get lackadaisical.
Steve, we got Baird in Sealands Grove wants to chime in.
Okay, hello, Baird. How are you doing today?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. Great to hear from you.
You too. Kevin, hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm always well, thank you. So, anyway, you hit on an interesting point, and that is, and I'm thinking about a high school situation, and it's all about how much time the referees have to put how much detail on any particular game. And I'm thinking about a story that a friend of mine told probably 15 years ago. At the time, he was the District 3 PIAA football rep, and he was a crew chief, but he'd been doing it for a long enough time. So he took his job to heart. And I'm not saying that other guys don't. I'm certainly not putting any blame, but he paid attention to detail, and he noted that he was at a football game, and I don't recall what high school it was, but he was going through his pregame routine, doing whatever he does, whether it's checking the balls, and part of his routine was making sure that the 10-yard marker stretched out to 10 yards. So he pulls out his 10-yard tape, and he stretches it out, and it's 10 yards and 6 inches.
Actually, Baird, I have seen that done at a high school football game within the last 2 years. I saw it done and measured it out, and it was a link or two too long, and they had to physically take links of the chain out. I watched that done.
Well, this wasn't 2 or 3 links. This was 6 inches. And the only the first thing he did was he found out that they had a spare set of chains which measured to 10 yards and all. But The only thing you could do is laugh and wonder how long it had been that way and why nobody had picked up on that. Because how many times do you, when you stretch it out, especially at the beginning of the game, if they're starting at the 20-yard line, is nobody noting that the guy at the other end is 6 inches beyond the 30-yard line?
Yeah, 6 inches good. You would think would, you know, I saw, like I said, it was like 2 or 3 links. 6 inches is going to be a little bit noticeable, you would think. What happened was, though, they measured this time, they measured the away team chains. Nobody saw them change the chain sets out during the possessions. That's what it was. The home team had the less links.
I didn't know until you just pointed that out. does that mean that just like the balls in high school?
No. I was kidding. I said the extra links came from the other chain that they use for the home team.
I got you. That makes sense. I'm sorry. I didn't pick up on your sarcasm there. That's perfect. So,
believe me, I 3 years I've tried to pick up on it.
All right. Hey, that's all I have, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Baron.
Hey, that's great stuff. Great stuff. We will come back, but news at the bottom of the hour next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
With no goes in to neighborhood. Who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Tracks in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at $22,389. And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,983 with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
Come see the Snowbusters
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com.
SMC. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. CAMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Oh, the best selection of beer in the area. Stock up for the weekend. Soft drinks. Snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every. Corey and the gang there waiting for you at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Well, it's going to be a combination of things, I think, when this thing is all said and done. And the one thing I think the league doesn't want to admit is that the officials were, and part of this was lackadaisical. And may have been, as a group, lackadaisical about this for a long time. Yes, I truly believe they checked the footballs before the game. Okay? In terms of visual and also, okay, hand inspection. But with a gauge? With a gauge? Maybe one, maybe none. After that, who knows what happens? But that's what my gut tells me. My gut tells me that part of this, beyond the Patriots part, and how they submit the footballs, is that I think the officials, first, you seen one, you see them all. I've done 1,000 games in my lifetime. That seems good. We're good here. Yep, okay. And I'll bet that gauge in 32 stadiums has been gathering dust for years. Just my guess. My guess is that the pressure gauge sits up in that corner. Probably sits in the exact same corner it was put in by the equipment guys back in August. And I think basically you have people kind of just realizing that, saying, you know what, we can do whatever we want. They aren't checking it. How about that theory, Kevo?
I thought that a long time ago. When this first came out, I thought nobody checked the football.
I don't think anybody checked it. I think all of a sudden out of nowhere, that pressure gear, where is that darn thing? At halftime, where is that thing? Anybody, help me, anybody. And you know Walt Anderson and his group. Oh, no, no, no. We checked. Okay, I'm
positive we looked at that.
Absolutely sure. Every one of them. Now, they wouldn't be lying because, well, no, and again, do I think they inspected the footballs before the game? Yes. Do I think they just took it, looked at each one? Okay, that, okay, 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 okay. Okay, that looks like Goodell's signature. Yeah, so far, so good. Which is the most important part. The logo and the signature.
As long as it shows up.
Okay, logo, signature. Okay, 2 for 2. Has license, 3 for 3. Now, am I calling into question their integrity? I'm telling you that I think that after a while, they visually and with their hands inspect each football. Boom, 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 cake, boom, 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 good. Pressure gauge, all of them? No. I find that very difficult to believe. Remember, these officials worked that game, and in the first half, they handled the ball, all of them. They all handle it. They all handle the football. And they notice no difference? Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you?
Hey, Steve. Hey, this is more of a question for Kevin. A few years ago, I don't know if it's been 3 or 4 years ago, how long have you been doing caller on Bucknell's broadcast?
I think this is 5. I lost track myself.
You remember about 3 or 4 years ago when Bucknell played at Cornell and it was during a drenching rainstorm?
Yes.
Didn't Cornell score like 47 points and Bucknell didn't score hardly anything?
I do remember it being one-sided. I couldn't tell you what the score was.
Well,
but
the only reason, and Steve might know this, but I heard that they use a different football. And I don't know if that's – can they do that in college? Could you have one team use their own football and another team – use theirs.
Yeah, well, in college football, you bring your own footballs with you.
Well, I guess my point being is they scored 40-some. I forget. I'd have to look it up. But it was like a 30-40-point difference in the game in a rainstorm. Pretty much they scored. And most of them were passing touchdowns, I think. And it just – I just have to think about that when that difference in that and somebody – I'm not accusing them of doing it. I don't even know if it's true. But somebody – I think I heard somewhere where they used their own footballs and maybe they underinflated them. Who knows?
Well, I mean, you always use your own footballs. Penn State's brought their own footballs to games for years. Opponents, Ohio State comes in, they use their football. Michigan uses their ball. That's been standard practice for a long time. In the NFL, it's been standard practice since the 2006 season that you bring your own footballs instead of having the home team provide the footballs. But you know what? I'm also a big believer that talent is a reason you win.
I understand that, but I guess my point being is, let's say they did underinflate their footballs a little bit, and would it make a big difference in a drenching rainstorm or a pounding rainstorm if you use one that were a little underinflated catching and passing a football? I guess that's my
answer.
Well,
that's a good question. That one I don't know. And of course, Sunday night was a driving rainstorm in Foxborough.
Well, that was my only thing. The other thing is, you know, how many football games are played in college every Saturday? Well, now they start on Tuesdays and play through the following Wednesday. They play about 8 days a week. But and then you've got all the pro games. I can't imagine anybody checks that many footballs. I mean, to the point that they're all, you know, I can't even believe that. But whether it's pro football or anybody, I can't believe it. Somebody says, geez, this football is a half a pound too light, Dick, and this one's a pound.
Dick, I'm with you. Look, I think that they conscientiously, and I really believe this, check the footballs before every game, but visually and with their hands. You know, we're good. But I'm really, really strongly feel that unless proven otherwise, they don't pressure gauge them.
I'm sure of that.
You know, I mean, they're not going to take the time to pressure gauge 24 footballs. Really? Really? No.
God, I hate
this is part of the whole thing. They didn't check it. They know they didn't.
Well, you know this, the buildup for the Super Bowl lasts, what, 4 or 5 hours before the game and 2 or 3 hours after the game and then during the game. God, I hate to think they spend 10 hours talking about.
You're going to have to ask Kevin about that because he does religiously watch every second of it.
That's not
meanwhile,
true.
Meanwhile, I live in a world of peace.
Well, you know what you are going to say? I'll tell you what, if I'm the NFL, one of the things I'm going to do is
get this thing done.
I'm going to have the cameras there. I mean, I want to show that there's no issue here, and here's the process we go through, and then then there's no discussion about it after the Super Bowl's over.
You know what's going to happen after this? This is going to be so thoroughly investigated, they're going to start worrying that guys are tampering with their NASCARs.
They do that anyway. The problem.
Somebody's got unfair advantage, you know, overinflating, underinflating.
That happens all the time.
I know. I was just kind of kidding you because of your race car thing there, but there's got to be some unfair advantage.
For the NFL, here's the big problem. Because they didn't pressure gauge anything, and again, it hasn't been proven. They claim they did. I'm not buying. I'm not buying at all. But they got caught.
Well, you know this, Steve. That a couple years ago, they were saying about wherever the baseballs were manufactured in Major League Baseball, they were juiced up.
Right. Exactly. How you take care of the core.
Right.
That's a big part of it. Now in Colorado, they it's supervised, but they put the balls in a humidor.
But obviously, an umpire is not going to go through that damn many baseballs. They have enough trouble. They have enough trouble looking at the bats.
Right. Exactly.
I guess it's just. I don't know. I think I'm just going to read a book.
Just,
all right.
Again, they're just Dick. Dick, I firmly believe they check each football before the game. But I think they check them visually, and I think they check them by feel. As for pressure gauging them, maybe they pressure gauge one on each side. Maybe. My doubt is that I don't think they check it. We're all good here. Because this is something nobody thinks of.
I would have never
nobody thinks
about
of
it.
This. No.
What you got to do is sometime get a quarterback on there and interview one of them.
Well, again, they've done that with a bunch of them. I mean, I'll ask Christian Hackenberg sometime. I'll pull him aside sometime and ask him what his preference is. But take Eli Manning, for example. He likes a ball that has higher laces on it. Aaron Rodgers likes his football to be at the 13.5 limit. Tom Brady has been open. He has said he likes to have less air in it. He has said that before. And the Patriots have inflated, as Bill Belichick said this week, the 12.5, which is the minimum. He said they'll no longer do that. They'll inflate them to 13.5.
Yeah, and what got overshadowed that whole weekend is you know, two football games, and obviously Seattle wins and New England wins however they won. And Aaron Rodgers played on that gimpy leg and played a heck of a football game with basically 1.5 legs. He really impressed me.
You know what? I mean, you think about it. His arm must be incredible because he never really could push off that leg for how many weeks, and yet he kept throwing darts.
Yeah, he did an outstanding job, but obviously that, other than at the end of the game, it kind of got over. It's been over. Everything's ever been overshadowed by this football. This football talk.
Oh, no question. We're all sitting there. Oh, yeah, we're all sitting here talking about hot air. That's our job.
Yeah. But anyhow, well, have a good day. See you guys.
You have a great weekend, Dick. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sometimes you could do something for a long time and maybe get lackadaisical about it. One of these days I'll run into Gene Steratore because he referees Penn State basketball games that do include Penn State. And I like talking to Gene. I may ask him about this.
Well, I did get at the game last night, the head official came over to us as we sit on the floor opposite the scores table after he had done his typical checking of the ball and the bounce to make sure it bounces at the right level.
Right.
Well, he came over to us and he goes, I want to let you know that the ball is properly inflated for tonight's game.
Well, did he pressure gauge it?
He did not, but they go through. They don't pressure gauge it.
No. Right.
They just bounce it to see if it bounces at a certain height.
Right. And that is, by the way, I probably, without bouncing the ball, my guess is they do check every football, each one of them. But they do it by eye and hand inspection. That would be my guess. The pressure gauge, I doubt, leaves the cubbyhole.
I just thought it was funny. I mean, even all the way down to the high school level now, now the referees are coming out and telling you that the ball's inflated properly.
No, there was John Gaffney threw one out of a Penn State game that he didn't quite think was right before the game this year, basketball. So it's not like I haven't seen it before. I also saw one time they accidentally attempted, and it was just a pure accident, a ball went out of bounds. They just threw another ball in from the sideline. Well, it was a women's basketball, and Pete Lisicki took the ball, looked at it right away, and he threw it out. And they said, why'd you do that? He said, it was a women's ball. It was a women's ball, significantly smaller.
Smaller, right.
And it is, and you can tell immediately that it's smaller. I mean, it's not a subtle difference between the two.
I made 5 straight shots with the high school girls basketball.
And that proves my point. All right, so
That's exactly why I said that, too.
that proves my point. Yeah. But there was a game this year where, to start the game, John Gaffney felt the ball was underinflated. So he threw it out, and they got him another one. So, I mean, it's happened before. And I've seen it happen before. Joe Crispin was very particular. He really wanted to pick out the game ball. So did Taylor Battle. Very particular after shoot around, off the rack, which one. And they go through and they feel it, bounce it, test it. You go, this is the one. And he's a point guard. So, I mean, I've seen that done often. We're in basketball. The difference is both teams use the same ball. There's only one ball in the game, and both teams use it. You know, they don't use 8 other balls. There's only one ball. And the rebound grabbed by Karis LeVert of Michigan will stop now while they put the Michigan ball into play.
Can you imagine what that would be like?
Au contraire, mon frere. Noon tomorrow, Dick and I will be on at 11:30. You'll hear the game here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. They have the best in domestics, imports, and microbrews. Don't forget about the pickle bar, second to none. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, have a great weekend.
Hey, have a good call. Shikellamy Wrestling postponed tomorrow, so you are on the radio, my friend, so I'll be listening.
And everyone, have a great weekend. Enjoy it. Just be safe with the snow out there. We'll get 2 storms, one tonight into tomorrow, and then one Sunday night into Monday. So please be very careful.
I'm already on a 2-hour delay for Monday, Steve.
Fabulous. What's the difference?
I didn't say there was a difference. I'm just letting you know.
Certain things I assume.